It's not often that I go off script and sort of change. So when I do a message series, especially when it's a four-week, this is unique because I'm doing an eight-week, but when I do a four-week message series, I sort of know ahead of time what all four messages will be about. I don't write them all in advance. And then each week I sit down and I develop the message for that coming week. And it's occasional that I'll move them and change the order of them, but I'm pretty intentional about what I want to do in that series. And this is one of the few times that I went off script and I decided to change what I was going to speak about this week. And so I'm going to have to bump one of the other messages just out completely, but I think it's important, and here's why. Because last week, if you weren't here last week, my encouragement is go on to the Summit Church app and listen to the message. And if you need to, listen to it again, because today's message is going to be I'm going to call it a continuing conversation. It's a sequel. It's not a part two of the message, so you don't need to have heard last week's in order to get this week's, but I would say it is a compliment, and here is why I felt like we needed to hang out a little bit longer in the idea of intentionality. It's because last week I talked about what you're going to do with your time in 2020, and that we're limited in time, and you only get so many minutes, and you're given those minutes at the beginning of your life, and you can do nothing to earn any more of those minutes. You can't swap, trade, you can't find a friend who's very generous, and then give. Unlike money, you can work two jobs to increase the amount of money you make. You can't work any harder to get more time. So it's meaningful, and it's crucial that you and I decide what we're going to do with our time. Well, I had so many people, just an exponential amount of people over what I usually get feedback, talking about the impact last week had on them. So clearly God had something for us that stood out, and we needed to do a little bit more with it. So I felt like it would be beneficial for us to hang out in this just a little bit longer. So we're going to talk about being intentional, because that's what I met with some people, and some people texted me, and I got some emails, and I was talking to people on the phone, and I had several people tell me, God, I was struggling with finding my word for the year, and God told me my word is intentional. And it was so interesting because Lisa had just shared with me her word, which was intentional, and someone else shared with me their word. And it was in a concentration of 1 week, heard all of these people talking about this, and I thought, wow, I bet this is happening church-wide. I bet there are more and more people who feel, even if they didn't isolate it down to one word, they're feeling that urging to be more intentional. And so we're going to talk about that a little bit today. And so if you missed last week, again, hop online this week, listen to it. It's only like a 25, 35 minute message, and you can watch it directly off your app on the phone. So no matter what you do, there's likely somebody doing it better. So I'm not trying to be discouraging. I'm trying to be truthful. Whatever career you're in, there's somebody who's better at your job than you are. And I'm not talking a dozen people. I'm talking hundreds and hundreds of people are better at that job than you are. And if you are, your kids are in a sport, there are kids who are just way, way better at that sport than your kids are. As a matter of fact, there are going to be some kids that are playing the same exact sport your kids are, the same position. Some of those kids are going to turn pro, and it's probably not your kid. Now, I know you go into it thinking that, especially dads, right, that your kid's going to be an MLB baseball player. He's going to end up playing football in the pros. They're not. So the quicker you get over that, the quicker you can move on. And listen, I'm not trying to be a jerk. Before you clutch your pearls and faint onto the person next to you, that I'm coming at you with hard truth this morning, I want you to hear this. It's okay not to be the best at everything you do. It's okay if you're not the absolute best at your position at work or the sport you play or the thing you do for hobby. So I told some of you guys that I bought a little aluminum fishing boat, a used little guy, and it didn't cost that much. I traded some other stuff to make sure that I got the price nice and low. And And so when you're, I would take the boat, and in the first couple of weeks I had it, I was rebuilding the floor and all that stuff. And so I was taking it and getting gas, and I would have all these people who were clearly fishermen come and ask me, "What are you going out and fishing today?" And I was like, "Probably fish, I'm thinking. I don't know, because I don't really know how to fish. I just like it because it's relaxing." So they're like, "What are you gonna, you doing sturgeon?" And I don't think they asked that. I was just trying to think of fish. Like, "You're doing bass?" And I was like, "You know, I gotta be honest. I really don't know what I'm doing. I just kind of take a pole and throw it in the water, and then I get on my phone and just relax for a little bit. Like, I'm not really looking to get on the pro bass fisherman's tour. I'm just really wanting to kind of chill out on the lake." So it's totally okay that you're not the best at anything. Listen, the truth is, you can't be the best at everything. You can't be that, because in order to be really, really, really good at your job, you are going to have to not be really, really, really good at other things. Because you only have so much time and so many resources and so much energy, you cannot give 100% of yourself to a thing and then expect any of those other things to do well. So the key is that you and I discover that we find the things that we are supposed to be excellent at, so that we don't, number one, need to pursue all of the other things with energy and time and focus, and then feel guilty that we're not great at those things. Instead, we focus ourselves on the things that we know that we're supposed to be great at, and we become great at them, and we become, listen, intentional about living well in certain areas of our life. So whether it's having a flourishing marriage or a healthy body or a growing spiritual life or strong financial habits, you cannot accomplish any of those things without being purposeful and intentional. Let me say that again. Those things, healthy marriages, healthy finances, healthy spiritual life, healthy physical body, healthy parenting, all the things that we value, those things, you are not inclined to automatically become great at those things. You are not, it's not in your DNA to just be good at every single thing you do. So you have to be focused and intentional. You have to live on purpose. Remember as a child, when your sibling or a cousin would do something and they'd say, I'm sorry, it was an accident. And you'd go, "It was not an accident. You did it on purpose." They intentionally did it, and you knew the difference between accidents and on purpose. And if you want things to happen in your life, that was a pretty good impersonation of a kid crying who just got, "You guys do not give me enough credit. That was pretty awesome." And scene. All right. Listen, John C. Maxwell says this, the great, he was a great pastor. He's a leadership expert, an author, a communicator, and has a lot of wisdom. And he said this: nobody finishes well by accident. Listen, you're not going to do well at parenting. You're not going to do well in your marriage. You're not going to flourish in your spiritual life, your financial life, in any particular area of your life, because it accidentally happens, because life somehow owes you success in those areas. It's going to come as a result of you being intentional and purposeful. And you can't possibly be 100% purposeful and intentional about every single thing in your life. It's going to be irresponsible and self-destructive, because there's only so much of you, there's only so much time, you only have so many hours in the day, and you can't be a great parent, a really great parent, and be the absolute best at your career. Now listen, there are some people like Steve Jobs who revolutionized the technology world. Most of you in here have some sort of Apple device, and it's because of his genius, his leadership. And if you look at his personal life, it was an absolute devastating mess. His marriages, his parenting, his interpersonal relationships, his friendships all suffered because of his intentionality and purposefulness to be the very best at what he did. Can I just tell you this, that God will never call you to a life, a purposefulness and intentionality that destroys the things that he values most, like relationships, like parenting, like your marriage. God will never call you to a career that destroys your family. So there are some things that you need to be intentional about that might be getting neglected right now because you think to be a good provider, whether you're the wife and you're the primary breadwinner, or you're the husband and the primary breadwinner, you think it's your primary responsibility to do that because that's what your role is supposed to be. I want you to be open today to thinking about what God's calling you to be more intentional about. So that's what we're going to spend the next couple minutes doing. To really be intentional with my life in 2020, write this into your notes, I have to do everything on purpose. Now, I get it that I just told you that you're not supposed to do everything with equal intentionality, and that's absolutely 100% true. It doesn't mean that everything you do in your life shouldn't have intentionality and shouldn't have purpose. Let me give you an example. I don't want Chase Bank to be good at everything they do. I don't want them to be great at barbecuing St. Louis style ribs. I don't want them to be good at making Italian marble countertops. I want them to be great at banking. Everything banking. I want them to be good at loans. I want them to be good at savings accounts. I want them to be good at checking accounts. I want them to be good at the thing that they're supposed to be good at doing. So I understand we're not supposed to be great at everything. So they're going to need to focus and be intentional about being really good at banking. That doesn't mean that I want them to neglect then having a bank that's presentable and being intentional about how they market and being intentional about, you see, it doesn't mean that because we're intentional about one thing that we can't be intentional about everything else that surrounds that thing, right? So if you go, well, listen, I want to be a good dad, that means I'm going to be a jerk in all my other relationships. I can't be a great dad and a great husband, honey. Pastor Chris said so, okay? So these date nights you keep bringing up, they're not happening. You want me to play with the kids or you want me to be romantic with you? I can't do both. That's not really what I'm talking about. Listen to scripture. It's a good place to go for wisdom. Here's my final conclusion. This is Ecclesiastes 12, 13, and 14. It's on the screens to the left and right of me. It's in your notes. Of course, it's in your Bible. Here's my final conclusion. Fear God and obey his commands. That means be in awe of the greatness of God. How big God truly is, how powerful, how awesome, how holy God truly is. Fear God, obey his commandments, for this is the entire duty of man. For God will judge us for everything. Everyone say everything. God will judge us for everything we do, including every hidden thing, good or bad. So hidden things are the things that I believe happen in us when we go into neutral and we're not intentional with our time. We get in trouble because we go idle. We go off script when we're not intentional. Because when you're intentional with your minutes, when you're intentional with your time, when you're intentional with everything in your life, you don't go neutral. When you don't go neutral, you don't get in trouble. You don't stall. That's when we have those unintentional moments in our life is when someone else determines the purpose of that moment. Whether it's the enemy, a dumb friend, a temptation, some other outside force steps in and takes our unintentional moments and puts purpose to them. So God is grading us on everything, which means there is a right version of everything we're supposed to be doing. Let me say that again. It's not as if there's some arbitrary shifting. When I was a youth pastor, for about 18 years, and one of the things that parents would get frustrated with is when their kids would be disobedient and it feels like they're rebelling, and I would sit down with parents and discover sometimes that parents had these floating rules around the house. They didn't really have a set curfew, and so their kids would come home at midnight, and they would get in trouble, and the parents would go, you know you're not supposed to stay out till midnight, and they'd go, no, I don't. Well, that should have been understood. Why would it have been understood? You never told me what time I did need to come home. You're not supposed to hang out with that friend. Well, how would I know that? You've never told me that. And so I told parents, you can really only hold them to the rules that they know are rules. And God doesn't have floating arbitrary rules. God has a right and wrong. When a teacher grades a test, how many of you guys are teachers? We got some teachers in our, okay, lots of you guys. Okay, so when you grade, you don't just decide in that moment whether that's right or wrong. You don't feel right, maybe, and you just, right, or maybe you do. I know I've had some evil teachers, so maybe you do that. There is an answer key, and they have the right and wrong answers, right, or they just have the right answers, actually, and they just go, I'm going to compare this, what you did, to this, what is the right answer, and it's either right or wrong based on this. If you got the answer that is the right answer, then you get to, that is how God judges everything in our life. So you say, okay, what is it that I'm being graded on? What is it that God wants me to do? And here's the answer to that, John 15, 16. Jesus said this, you did not choose me, I chose you, and I gave you this work. Listen, here is the thing that we are supposed to be doing and being intentional about, to go and produce fruit, fruit that will last. And you go, okay, where am I supposed to produce fruit in my life? And the answer is yes. You are supposed to produce fruit everywhere in your life. So I was having a discussion with somebody this week about politics, just in general. We're in a very weird place in our nation with politics. And I said, one of my big frustrations with Christians today is this, that they put their resources, time, intentionality, their purpose for living, their purpose for communicating on Facebook, their purpose for conversations, they put it all into the singular lane of politics. And I said, if they were as intentional about using those resources, intentionality, about spreading news about the good news of who Jesus Christ is and what he can do with your life, the entire planet would be saved. If people would focus, and listen, I'm not telling you should be abstinent politically. Personally, I am. That's my convictions. I'm not pushing those on you. I'm telling you that I don't engage because I can't do it with balance. As I step closer, it's like a black hole. Just sucking life and all light, and I get near it and I feel my soul departing from me. So I just stay back and I don't engage. And I live in California, so it literally doesn't matter either. Okay, so, right? That was kind of political. Sorry I said that. So here's my point, is if we spread out our intentionality, and we said we wanted to be fruitful at work and influencing lives and helping save marriages because people's marriages were tanking. Instead of being silent, we pointed them to the hope of Jesus Christ and in our own home and in all the other things that we do in intentionality with how we spend our thought life and all of that. If we were fruitful in everything that we did, we would leave seeds of eternity in those things, not seeds of who gets elected, because that's not going to last long, right? We can only be president twice, and then somebody else is going to be. So you get it, all of the huffing and puffing, all the things that we do, all the things that feel so meaningful to us, those things stop at some point. Eternity goes on forever, and there's only two options for eternity. There's with Jesus and without Jesus. There's with hope and without hope. That's where I want to be fruitful. That's the measure by which God judges your intentionality. That's the answer key. Are you being eternally, lastingly fruitful? And everybody said, amen. All right. Well, four of you got it. Thank you. Ralph Waldo Emerson said this, the purpose of life is not to be happy. Boy, that would not make a good meme. Right? That would not do well on Twitter. It is to be useful, to be honorable, to be compassionate, and to have it make some difference that you lived and that you lived well. And the only way for that to happen is lasting fruit. Ephesians 2:10 says it like this, God has made us what we are. In Christ Jesus, God made us to do good works, which God planned in advance for us to live our lives doing. And let me tell you what good works are. It's not the measure of what you believe is good or what you don't believe is good. All good things come from God. It is for you to do God things in your life. And God things are very practical things. God things are loving people, being compassionate to people, helping serve people, helping love people, helping forgive people. God is all about bringing peace to where there's war. God is all about bringing unity to where there's division. God is all about bringing hope where there is hopelessness. God wants you being his representative in the midst of the ugliest season in our nation's history in a very long time. God wants you to be light and hope and grace and compassion and love. That's what God wants from you. To be really intentional, oh my dear Lord, I got to hurry up. To be really intentional with my life in 2020, I have to do something on purpose. Now I said do everything on purpose. Now this is something on purpose. So I'm always sort of fascinated by people. If I can hang out in the political conversation a little longer, it was so popular earlier when I talked about it, I figured I'd hang out there a little bit longer. I'm fascinated by the person that bangs the drum of every vote matters. Like, I've had that pushback. You don't vote, right? And I just go, I don't. And I explain my position and they go, yes, but your vote, what if everyone decided that? And they kind of go down that scenario and they'll bang that drum, every vote matters. And that may actually be entirely true. But that same person will act as if their individuality makes them impotent in being effectual for change in all the other areas of their life. It's as if my vote every 2 years or every 4 years is the thing that will really set our nation onto its correct course. But me personally, I can't do anything. In other words, they surrender their purpose and intentionality to an elected official instead of taking ownership of what they're supposed to be doing. I say every vote may matter, but your individual life every single day of the year, not just on election days, that matters more. That matters a lot more, right? Can I tell you this? You can have an impact on somebody's failing marriage. You can have an impact on somebody's struggle as a parent. You can have an impact on somebody's eternity. Nobody you vote for will. Well, that's not true. I think that the governor could probably get America saved or... No, no, no. I have been alive old enough to have gone through a lot of presidents. Some of them I've been very fond of. Some of them I haven't been so fond of. But you know what happens? At the end of the day, the individuals that are in my life have a far greater impact on my happiness, on my contentment, on the direction of my life, on influencing my relationship, on impacting my marriage than anyone that's ever been elected to an office. So, I want you to hear this. You have been gifted and called to be an impactor of people's lives. Far more than the person that sits in the office of the president or whoever governor is, you will personally impact more lives. You will affect more change in people's lives. And somehow we've been sold a bill of goods that unless we have a title or we've been elected or we've been appointed or we've got some sort of power or we've been given some sort of office that makes us legitimate life changers, that we think that our individual lives don't matter. And that is not how God created us. Let me read this passage to you. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So right there, it just says the body exists with multiple parts, but it is one body. In other words, the wholeness of the body only exists because of the parts of the body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some of us are Gentiles, some of us are slaves, and some of us for free. Now, none of that connects with you and I. There may be some who are of Jewish heritage in here, but most of us are of Gentile. Nobody in here is currently, I would assume, a slave to anyone, a literal slave to anyone. So those things don't connect to us. But what Paul was doing right here is giving the contrast of no matter where you're at in life, no matter how good things are, how close you appear to be with God, no matter whether you're in a really bad situation or really good situation, he wants to include all of us in this, that you are a part of something important. He says this, but we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit, Holy Spirit. Yes, the body has many parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not the hand, Does that make it any less important or any less a part of the body? And if the ear says, I'm not part of the body because I'm not an eye, would that make it any less part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if the whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. Listen, you are who God created you to be, just as you are. God has instilled in you the tools, the equipment. God has given you what it takes to be a world changer right where you are. You think that if you stood on a platform like this, you could have greater influence, and that's absolutely not true. Here's the difference between you and me. This is my arena of influence. This is my primary arena of influence. I am an influencer of you. You, on the other hand, go into the marketplace. You go into schools. You go into the workplace. You go into your neighborhoods, and you are an impactor of those lives. Those lives aren't sitting here listening to this. The only way they'll get any message of hope of who Jesus Christ is and what he can do in their lives is you going back into your neighborhood, going into your grocery store, going into your homes, going into your workplace, and carrying that message. Does that make sense? So you are just who God wants you to be, doing just what God wants you to do. Listen to 1 Peter 4:10. Every believer has received grace gifts. I love that. Because there was one time that I came to Pastor Darren, the founding pastor of this church, and I said, my grace for youth ministry has been lifted. And that was absolutely true. And it was sort of the same thing as going, I can't be a youth pastor for 1 minute longer. I loved students. I just didn't have a grace for youth ministry. And I'd done it 18 years. Most of them were looking at me like, bro, what are you still doing as a youth pastor? Like, I loved youth, but my grace had been lifted for that. God has a grace on your life. So use them, your grace gifts, to serve one another as faithful stewards of the many-colored tapestry of God's grace. I love that. For example, if you have a speaking gift, speak as though God were speaking his words through you. If you have the gift of serving, do it passionately with strength that God gives you, so that in everything God alone will be glorified through Jesus Christ. For to him belongs the power and the glory forever through all the ages. Amen. Do you see that God has equipped you, given you gifts, individual gifts, to be a world changer? I don't know what they are, and I can tell you this, God's not trying to keep them a secret from you. Many of the things that people identify to you and in you, those are your gifts. They'll say, oh my gosh, you're so good at this. And it just feels sort of normal to you, and you go, not really. And you sort of shrug it off, but you should be attuned to that and listening to that, because people are affirming God's gifting in you. Third and finally is this, to be really intentional with my life in 2020, I have to do nothing on purpose. Do everything, do something, and do nothing. Now, I'm about to mess up everything I just told you, because I know I was telling you how to go do something. Now I'm gonna tell you how to not do something, and this is actually the most important part of doing everything on purpose, is learning to do nothing on purpose. Here's what I mean. We are insufferable doers. We think that change only happens when we're actively doing something. And that's why we feel nervous and anxious when there's nothing that can be done. There's a thing that's happening, whether it's a health scare or some financial thing, and you are unable to do anything about it, we freak out and we go into anxiety and we start panicking. And so we feel like panicking and worrying and doing all those things are at least doing something. I'm doing, therefore I must be producing something. And I'm terribly guilty of this. I'm a doer. I will, if I'm sitting and I have nothing to do with the thing. So there have been weddings that I've just attended and the sound was messed up, and I'll stand up and I'll go try and help the sound man, because I'm like, I've got to do something. This is a nightmare, and I feel bad for the groom and I feel bad for the bride, and I'm gonna do something. And the sound men love that when you do that for them. They absolutely love complete strangers coming up and trying to do their job. So I recommend it highly to go do that when you're uninvited to do that. God is just intentional at calling us, maybe more so in not doing things sometimes. Listen to Psalm 46, 10. David says, surrender your anxiety, be silent, and stop your striving, and you will see that I am God. I am the God above all the nations, and I will be exalted through the whole earth. Can I tell you when God said that to David? When they were in the middle of war. What an interesting thing for God to say in the middle of a great battle, of great distress, of great cause of worrying. I know it feels like, because of the kind of climate that we're in, that we should be more worried than ever before. I want to challenge you that in the midst of war, God will say to you, surrender your anxiety, be silent, and stop your striving. Quit trying to make something happen, and you will see that I am God. In other words, I have more power than you're giving me credit for. I will do more than you're allowing me to do. He says, I'm the God above all nations, and I'll be exalted through the whole earth. In other words, God goes, I don't need your help being God. I am God above all things. I'm more powerful than the thing that you're most afraid of. I'm more powerful than the thing you think is going to happen to us or to your family or to. I am bigger than all of that. And then later, David responds to God by saying this, I am standing in absolute stillness, silent before the one I love, waiting as long as it takes for him to rescue me. Only God is my Savior, and He will not fail me. Did you hear that? Money is not my Savior. My job is not my Savior. My president is not my Savior. Not even my loving family. They're not my Savior. My parents aren't my Savior. My education isn't my Savior. My bank account isn't my Savior. Only God is my Savior, and He won't fail me. But can I tell you how God will fail you is when you never allow Him to have the opportunity to be God in your life. And there are moments in which your intentionality and your purposefulness has to be with, in this minute, in this moment, I'm going to do nothing. The most valuable way I can spend these moments is in God's presence. Listening, sitting, waiting for Him to show up. Waiting for Him to demonstrate His godness, His bigness, His holiness, His compassion, His love for me. Just gonna stop. I'm not gonna flail. I'm not gonna thrash. I'm not gonna run around. I'm not gonna raise my voice. I'm not gonna cry out. I'm just gonna sit. Some of your most productive, intentional, purposeful, effectual moments are going to come from doing nothing at all. Sitting in the presence of God, in your car, in your home, on a walk, and just let God be God. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me this morning so that we can have just a minute to respond to Him? If you feel like last week or this week that God has been pushing on you and challenging you and stirring you to do things differently with your time, maybe this week with being more focused and more purposeful with your life. And this is affirmation for that. Or maybe God stirred something in you in the last 2 weeks, a new message to you that you need to start doing this. If that's you and you just say, yeah, that's what I've been hearing from God, would you just stick your hand up? Yeah, wow. Lots and lots and lots of us. Can I ask you this? If you don't yet have a relationship with Christ, you're not yet following Christ, can I tell you, you are in the perfect, absolute perfect place this morning. You are among those who are on a journey to know Christ better. So you are with good company. You are joining those who are doing exactly what you're doing. They might be a month, a year, a decade ahead of you in getting closer to Jesus, but they're on the same exact path that you're on. And so if you feel like you want to begin a relationship with Jesus today, you don't have to know everything about the Bible. You don't have to know everything about what it is to be a follower of Christ. None of us do. When we start our first day in school, we start there to begin learning. This is what a relationship with Jesus is, to begin to learn who your Creator is and what you've been created for. And if that's you, you say, yeah, if he'll take me just as I am, I'll start following him today. If that's you, would you just stick your hand up? For those who raised their hand earlier, let's every single one of us own this prayer as our own. I'm going to pray over you, but I want you to own these words as if they're just generated outside of you, but they're your own words. Jesus, I don't want to do more than you've called me to do, than you've created me to do. I don't want to just be doing so that I get to the end of 2020 and I've just done a bunch of stuff, but none of it was what I was supposed to have done. It's just busyness. It's just noise in my life. I want to see every moment as a moment with a purpose, but sometimes that purpose is to realize that's not my moment. I'm not supposed to do anything. That's my moment to follow and not to lead. Or maybe it's my moment to be silent and pull away and just be in your presence and let you have this moment. And then there's going to be moments that I need to be super intentional, that I say, this is me, this is my gifting, this is what you've called me to do. I'm an influencer and an impactor of this moment. I can leave lasting fruit right here. But God, we need your Holy Spirit's discernment, leading, guiding in order to do that. We can't be trusted with that. Our flesh will lead us in all the wrong directions, so we call on your Holy Spirit to lead us now to our highest and best lives. In Jesus' name, amen.